Your reasons for listening to this show,
check,
well, those are
check,
your own.
Check.
But just keep in mind that the views, information, or opinions expressed on the Tuttle Daily Podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those
of
our sponsors.
Sean Jake.
It's called free speech, people.
Nobody's forcing you to listen.
Get ready for your daily dose of Tuttle.
Coming in strong.
The all-time greatest intern slash producer we've ever had, of course, Tuttle. Tuttle in Florida.
From the Hobo Fish Camp, it's the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
No wonder nobody likes you, Tuttle.
Everything's
a goddamn debate.
Hey, I've never asked this before. Can anybody tell me what movie that I pulled that soundbite from? The one that says, no wonder nobody likes you, Tuttle, because everything's a goddamn debate. I think I've talked about this before. Can anybody tell me what movie that came from? Or even tell me the actor. This actor has a very distinct voice. Can anybody tell me what movie? Yellow. Maybe I haven't talked about this. I don't know. If you guys want to call in and kind of guess, 407-270-3044. Already off to a better start than last night. And I got to just get used to it. I got to get used to, you know, some nights are not going to be as good as others. And last night, not so good. It wasn't. Iggy T, you want to know what kind of threw me off? And I don't want any of you guys to say, oh, Tuttle is like obsessed with Iggy T and stuff. You know what? Iggy T's kind of like a good luck charm, if I'm just being honest. And Iggy T did not see her in the chat room last night. Maybe that's why I was so thrown off. But can anybody tell me? Can anybody tell me what that sound drop is from? Matter of fact, you know, I got a new job now. Hell, I'll PayPal you $10. If anybody can tell me where that drop is from, you know what? I'm kind of getting a little too, I'll pay you $5. I'll PayPal you $5. If anybody can tell me where that drop comes from. You know, at the beginning, it's a famous actor. It's from a pretty good movie. No wonder nobody likes you, Tuttle. Everything's a goddamn debate. It's a sports movie. It's a love story. Maybe nobody even listens to the beginning of it. Maybe I just need to go in dry. No intro, just start the show dry. Maybe that's what I got to do. Because, I don't know, do you guys even listen to the beginning of it? Do you guys even like the intro at the beginning of the show? Yes, Iggy T. Iggy T. Yes, it is from the movie For Love of the Game. Yeah, Tuttle played on the New York Yankees. Kevin Costner is a pitcher for the Detroit Tigers. John C. Reilly is his catcher. I like that show intro. Spice Boys Gold Mike Doorstop. He says, audio is bad. I'll be right back, guys. I cannot do this. I cannot do this. I'm not, you know what? I've already had this big rant. And whenever I log back on and people can see what I'm doing, seriously, what is going on? What is going on? Guys, while I was away and I had, is the audio better? Please, Vulture, if you're listening right now, can you please let me know? Okay, so it's better. I will say this right now. and I'm using it. StreamYard is the biggest piece of shit. It is. It is the biggest piece of shit. And I've already proven just by, like, process of elimination, it is StreamYard, and it's the biggest piece of shit. Matter of fact, Vulture, if you're listening right now, can we please... Abraham Dragon, he's quoted. And that's the thing about baseball movies. I played baseball all through high school, played a little bit college ball. And, you know, baseball movies are the most quotable movies. Look at Bull Durham. How many different quotes were in the movie Bull Durham? But Abraham Dragon, damn it, just hit me. That dude was Sam Tuttle. Abraham Dragonfriend, strike two. That shit's outside. What up, Jake Hudson? How are you? I got your email. I'm going to email you back tonight. But seriously, Vulture, can I get an interview with somebody from StreamYard? I might get, like, banned from them. So can we find another outlet to be able to broadcast over multiple streams on? Because I want to have them on. If I can find another one that is just as good as StreamYard, I want to use it. Because I want to get somebody on from StreamYard, and I want to put them on the spot. Because everybody talks about StreamYard. Everybody talks about how good StreamYard is, and it's garbage. Oh, you're right. Abraham Dragonfriend says, agree, baseball movies are highly quotable. You hit the fucking bull. Even that movie Major League, it was amazing. Loved it. Loved that movie. Sandlot is another quotable movie. All baseball movies are quotable. They are. I just thought about that. Twisted Movies. All right, I'm going to check that out, Twisted Movies, that DM. But Twisted Movies says, I have VMix. So I'm going to test it out tomorrow. And if I think it's stable and I don't have the problems that StreamYard's having, I want to get one of their people on. And I do. I want to put them on the spot because it is a league of their own. There's no crying in baseball. Thank you, Jake Hudson. There's no crying in baseball. Why are baseball movies so quotable? Lummy's Peg Juice says, sup, Tuds? There's a couple of stories I want to get into right away here. Rookie of the Year. What was... I remember the rookie. What that? Uh-oh. I got a phone call coming in here. Tuttle Daily Podcast.
Hey, what's up, Tuttle? It's Jake.
What up, Jake?
Hey, when I stream, I stream with StreamYard and Restream, but with StreamYard, I have the free stuff. I have the free version of it. Only at 20 hours, so the rest of the time I use a Restream Studio.
Yeah, I'm just not happy with it. Everybody says that it's the best thing in the world, but it's garbage.
Yeah, it is sometimes. Sometimes it can't read your camera, and sometimes it lags.
Yeah. All right. Well, hey, Jake, I'm gonna send you. Go ahead. What's up, Jake?
Hey, I sent you an email Thursday.
Yesterday.
Thursday, I have a doctor's appointment.
All right. All right. Well,
we can talk about that later.
All right. Yeah, Jake. And I don't want to do business on the show because that's kind of boring. Right, so I'll get with you. Right, okay, Jake. All right, man. See ya. All right. That's Jake. Yeah, but I mean, Nelly Mandingo comes, it's God's thumbnail, Rookie of the Year. A lot of people, is that the one where the kid, now, Rookie of the Year was the kid that broke his arm, and after he got the cast off, he could throw really, really hard. Do a lot of you guys know that that kid was in the American Pie movies? Moneyball. Holy shit, I completely forgot about Moneyball. There are so many great baseball movies. Man, oh man, I could sit there and watch them. But Rookie of the Year, the kid was on all those American Pie movies. What was his name? Baumgartner? And wasn't what's his face? Oh, here we go. I mean, I'm not complaining. Tuttle Daily Podcast. Who is this?
It's Cal, man. What's going on?
Hey, what, buddy, man? Having another night of drinking?
Yeah, man. Shit, I'm having a good old time. You doing all right, Tuttle?
Yeah. Hold on one second. I got to get to this. Spice Boys Gold Mike Dorsum, Mr. Baseball was horrible. How can you say any movie with Tom Selleck in it was horrible? Now, I'm sure he's done some bad movies.
Three,
exactly, man. Tell him. Three, did you ever watch the movie Quigley Down Under, that cowboy movie? No?
Sure did.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I did.
He was a long-range sniper back in the cowboy days. You there?
No, I'm here.
All right.
I'm here.
So what's going on, man? How's your day been?
Been wonderful.
Yeah.
This Tuesday.
Give me a list of what you've been drinking today, my friend. You seem like you've been getting after it.
Oh, yeah. I had some Miller Lite. That's all I've been drinking.
Oh, then you must have drank two cases of Miller Lite for you to sound this way.
Well, I mean, I've had a few. I've had about, I don't know. And I've had Peach Crown. I forgot about that.
So you've been drinking Crown and Miller Lite. Yeah, I got to ask you, okay? Hold on. Mr. Baseball is not that great. Abraham says it does not hold up. Still, it's not a bad baseball movie. It's not a bad baseball movie.
Frank Thomas in that movie, too?
Who?
What, Frank Thomas in that movie?
No, it was not Frank Thomas. It was not Frank Thomas. The black guy that was in that movie was actually the movie that actually played the president in 24. And then he did the Allstate commercials. The guy with the big, deep voice. You know what I'm talking about?
No, I'm talking about the Yankee player that was like coming up that was going to replace Selleck. Remember there was like this big, not him. That's the one that played in the Major League, too. He played in Major League, Serrano, you know.
Yeah, Serrano was the guy that played the president in 24.
That was supposedly going to take over for Tom Selleck in the movie Mr. Baseball. Remember, there was this new guy coming up before he moved to Japan.
Yeah, I think I know who you're talking about. I get it. So, Nelly Mandingo wants me to ask you, how many totem poles have you smoked? Like, how much weed have you smoked tonight?
I've had a couple Mary Janes here and there. I've had one and a half. I'm finishing up the half here a little bit.
Hmm. Anyways, man. So, what is interesting?
Something's burning in my kitchen. I'll call you right back.
All
right,
man. See ya. Yeah, don't call me back. Lummy's Peg Juice says you're killing me. Sorry. How am I killing you? Am I interrupting again? I'm trying to get better at it. If I'm interrupting and stuff, I do apologize. Abraham Dragon friend says, had a fun conversation with my dad about free mustache rides because of that movie. I got an interview coming up here really, really soon. Vulture's been doing a great job, you know, because I've been busy with the new job, but Joe Cutler. He's an author. He's got a book out called The Happy Hotline. And it kind of relates of what happened in my life and stuff. So I'm looking forward to it. Oh, no. Didn't even think about... You know what? See, that should show you how, like, good that I've been lately. I completely forgot what a totem pole was. Yeah, you're talking about a Zanny bar there. We're not even talking about the footballs on it. Man, I'm losing my edge. I really, really am. Holy shit. Before my interview, I wanted to play this story. And I really think this Amber Heard trial or Johnny Depp trial is kind of like exposing the double standard that's going on. Because you want to know what the news is all talking about? And maybe Johnny Depp is a dick. Maybe he is. But this just proves the point that everybody believes the woman first. Because that Amber Heard is taking a lot of bullshit right now over this trial. Everybody is saying, oh yeah, these women are not going to come forward when it comes to abuse now. Because Amber Heard is looking like a just complete crazy lunatic maniac.
Amber Heard telling the court Johnny Depp abused her.
By the way, did you see this? I saw a meme. The outfit she wore today. The Sandlot. Best. Look, Sandlot, definitely top three in my baseball movies. So I'm not disagreeing with you. This outfit she's wearing today? No, I mean, Abraham, you're right. Bro, Tuds, it's possible that they do both suck. But I just love how the media is just like completely, just because Amber Heard is a chick, that they're taking her side. But this outfit she's wearing, I saw a meme today, same outfit that Dr. Evil wore in the Austin Power movies.
In the court, Johnny Depp abused her.
Just pulls his arm back with the phone and throws it at my face. Hit me right in my, it felt like my eye.
And
now, both of them, I think, probably could have been abusing each other. Living in the South, you see that. You'll see white trash, Florida cracker families, couples fighting each other all the time. And a lot of guys that aren't used to Southern living will see that happen and see two white trash redneck couples fighting each other and stuff. And they think that they got to get in and protect the woman. That is the worst goddamn thing you can do. It's the worst thing you can do. Because if you try to fight the guy, guess what? Your face is going to get clawed up like you were trying to wrestle up a bobcat. It's just not going to happen. Lummi's Peg Juice. I mean, it is lightning in a bottle. Lummi's Peg Juice, I do her. Harness to crazy. Abraham says crazy attracts crazy. And I think they're both guilty of this. But listen to what the media does. Listen to the angle that the media takes.
Depp's legal team getting tough on cross-examination.
There aren't any medical records reflecting that you sought medical treatment for any...
Oh, hell yeah. Bubba Light. I got Bubba Army royalty coming in, throwing me $10. Thank you so much. Thank you, Bubba. Bubba Light. Hope you're well. Nelly Mandigo, the media wouldn't cover this trial as much if Trump was still president. Abraham says both of them suck. I agree.
Any of these injuries, are there?
I did not seek medical treatment after Australia, no.
Not for the rape?
No.
Ooh, I did not want to tell anyone. Hold on. I didn't know there was rape going on. What is that about?
Then comparing photos of Heard to her descriptions of her injuries.
Your nose doesn't appear to be injured in any of these pictures, does it, Ms. Heard?
That's why I'm wearing makeup.
Yeah, Fish on Dre brings up a great point. Hollywood trash gone wild. I got to agree with you. And I think that's why this is so popular. Because the everyday normal people that deal with the fighting and stuff, they're all like, oh, wait, people that are famous, people that are rich are having to deal with this? Hell yeah. People love Jerry Springer. So if you got two famous people, yeah, of course you're going to watch this.
Makeup, right. And makeup covers up swelling, right?
Depp accuses Heard of defamation and is suing for $50 million. Heard is countersuing for $100 million.
This is the crazy thing about it. Let's be honest. Johnny Depp's career is not doing so well. I think the biggest movie Amber Heard's ever been in is Aquaman. And I don't even think that this even gets, like, stirred up, because Amber Heard was the one that stirred up the hornet's nest. She was the one that wrote that article all about Johnny Depp, and everybody knew who she was talking about. She didn't mention Depp. She covered her own ass and stuff, but if she doesn't write that report, we don't get this gold that you're watching right now.
For weeks, their volatile relationship has been described in vivid detail in court.
There was mashed potatoes smeared all over the bedroom door.
The worst food item, if you're getting into a fight with your significant other, the worst food item is hot grits. Hot grits are the equivalent of food napalm. Could you imagine, like, if a husband, an abusive asshole, was like, honey, I want grits tonight. Old Florida cracker, he's like, I want grits tonight. And the wife cooks the hot grits, takes them right out of the pot. Matter of fact, the abusive husband doesn't even take them out of the pot. He takes the hot grits and throw it at her. And that is the equivalent of food napalm. Hot grits stick to you. It'd be just like that Vietnamese chick, the little kid running down the road with her clothes completely burned off of her because the napalm burned it off of her. Yeah, that's exactly. Iggy T, that whole pledging the 7 million thing so embarrassing of her. What is that about, Iggy T? Vulture says napalm sticks to kids. Yeah, it does. Nelly Mandinga, Rogan and cast them both in Pirates of the Caribbean as a hate love story and get them back together in the end. I would watch it. We would all watch it. The first Pirates of the Caribbean was amazing, but they started getting really bad towards the end. It is. I hear thunder out there.
On the wall.
Both actors accusing each other of abuse, both denying those accusations.
I've never struck a woman.
Outside the courtroom, the case has taken on a life of its own. Each day, a crowd gathers, most cheering for Depp.
How did this go so wrong for Amber Heard? And I'm not saying that Johnny Depp is in the wrong, but in normal everyday life here in the United States, they usually back the woman. Cops do, lawyers do, judges do, they all do. How the hell did Johnny Depp become the good guy on this? But I also don't like how the media is spinning this. Iggy T is right. Johnny Depp is very cringe. I think Robert Downey Jr. is on one end of the spectrum. That guy's career was hanging by a thread. One more mess up by Robert Downey Jr., he would have been in jail for a really, really long time. And Johnny Depp's career was going quite well at that time. And Johnny Depp is the biggest comeback story in Hollywood. And I'll debate people on that. I really, really will. Depp is a tool that I love for some reason. But listen to how the media, and none of the specialists that they have on, none of them are men.
And booing her. Online, it is a similar story.
I mean, come on, look at that outfit. What's up with that hat? And what's up with Depp's accent?
Depp has not escaped ridicule, but Heard often gets the worst of it. There is open mockery of her descriptions of abuse.
I said, Johnny, you hit me.
The hashtag justice for Johnny Depp has gotten billions of views on
social. All right, so what does it say of... Tuttle Daily Podcast.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, man, I'm in the middle of a segment, man. You just can't run out on me. I'll talk to you later. Yeah, sorry, not doing that. How? What went wrong here that Johnny Depp is now looking like the good guy? I think both of them are horrible.
Social media.
I never expected her to be made such a joke. She...
Once again, University of Louisville, Brandeis School of Law professor. This seems like a woman that just kind of hates men. I'm sorry. And I'm not trying to be that woman-hating dude or anything like that, but come on.
Is a litigant in a courthouse in this country, which is her constitutional right. She has the right to defend.
What about men's constitutional rights? The men that have completely gotten screwed over. Bubba Light, you're right. Looks like a Karen. I gotta agree with you. And Fish on Jay, you're right. I think Johnny Depp's career is definitely over. It is. But you can't debate that Johnny Depp has some pretty iconic acting roles. He does. And if you say that he doesn't, I can't take anything you say seriously. Amber Heard is not even close to being on the same level as Johnny Depp.
Herself.
Some legal experts worry abuse victims, no matter how different their stories may be, will stay silent after watching this celebrity trial turn into public.
No, sorry. Look, I'm not a conservative or a liberal, but this NBC, this is an NBC news story, liberal leaning, and they're playing the angle that, oh my God, women are not going to come out. Women are not going to come out because of this news story. Let's just call it like it is, okay? There's a lot of asshole guys. A lot of asshole guys that have done the most despicable, horrible things to women. But you cannot tell me that there's not a double standard. There is a double standard. There is. You know how many times that women have made up lies on guys and they don't even really need any proof? The cops get called out for a domestic dispute, and the cops just have any inkling that the guy's done something wrong, even though they can't prove it. Guess what? The guy is either going to jail or he's getting asked to leave his house, even though his name's on it. And we all know that. I'm not trying to be a shock jock or anything here, but we all know that. We really, really do. And the thing is that not a lot of guys are willing to step up and say that. But it does happen. But I will say that there's a lot of asshole guys. There's a lot of scumbags out there. There just is. But I also think that guys get a bad rap sometimes. I mean, Abraham, it might not be happening as much as I'm, like, pinning it out there, but it does happen, Abraham. You can't tell me that a guy has never gotten lied on by a woman and got wrongfully accused. You don't think a woman has ever, like, you know, ran her head into it? I mean, Dave the Slave said it happens all the time, Tuds or dude. It does. But if you're a guy and you say that type of stuff, guess what? You are automatically labeled as a woman hating son of a bitch. And this might piss a lot of people off, but you know what? I got a lot of ladies that listen to this show. Yeah, I mean, it is 7:30, guess not on. And he even emailed me. I gave him my address to send me a book. So, kind of surprised. Twisted Movie says, the worst is in custody cases. Technology should make an app where you have to approve child support spending. No more women buy. Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. It is true. You're absolutely right, Twisted Movies. There's a big love fest. See, Bubba Light? There's a lot of Bubba Army people that watch the show and stuff. They know you. Like I said, Bubba Army royalty. But Twisted Movies is right. There's a lot of times where the women don't spend the money on the kids. They don't do it. I'm just kind of waiting on my guess. So here, let me play the rest of this story.
Looks spectacle.
It does feel like a spectacle. Mm-hmm. And how much longer is it going to go on?
Well, days, Savannah. The closing arguments aren't expected until May 27th. And we could hear from Ellen Barkin on the stand. Heard's sister might take the stand. And Johnny Depp might get back on the stand. So there is more to come here.
Okay. Yeah, there is. Well, I'm waiting on my guess. You guys see? Now, I can understand why this reporter would be scared. A lot of people forget about what happened like 4 years ago. Do you guys remember the story about that crazy guy? I mean, it's kind of weird that I'm talking about a shooting. Do you remember that guy that worked at a TV news station? And while this chick and a cameraman were doing a live shot? Iggy T, I got thoughts on that. I'm glad you asked me. But do you remember that female reporter that got shot and killed by one of her coworkers that was upset at her? He was really, really crazy. He ended up, while she was on the air doing her live shot, doing one of those morning show type interviews, and the guy filmed himself walking up while she was reporting live on the air, shot her in the back of the head, and killed the cameraman. So I can understand why this guy was scared, but it's kind of funny. Watch this guy. Now, this guy, I think, that walks up on him is blind. Look, watch this.
Went to the hospital, and that's where he later died. Now, right up, now, Steve? It's a watch very watch hard this. Watch, time watch, watch, for watch, the entire watch, family. Watch, the shooting took watch place. Him. Just before 10:30 here on
listen to this
here on
watch this watch
just before 10:30 here on Masterson.
Am I dumb for thinking that's funny? Here, watch.
Went to the hospital, and that's where he later died. Now, right now, it's a very hard time for the entire family. Watch this shooting watch took place.
I don't know why I think this might be fake, though. Oh, here we go. Hold on. I'll get back to this. Oh, hold on. Hey, what up, Joe?
Hey there. How's it going?
Good, man. How are you, Joe? Joe Cutler joins me. Where are you calling from, Joe?
It's a good question. I'm up in Berkshire Mountains in Western Massachusetts.
Okay. See, I mean, you do look like a mountain man with the beard and everything. And then you got like, would you consider that flannel?
Something like that.
So, I mean, you do look a little bit like a lumberjacker almost, but, what's the weather like up in Maine? I mean, I'm down in humid ass subtropical Florida. What's it like up in Maine right now?
Yeah, so it's actually Western Mass, but
Mass, sorry.
It's nice. It's winter ran pretty long. But yeah, it's getting nice. Spring's finally here and enjoying the nice days.
So, Joe, before we get into the interview, tell my audience supporters a little bit about yourself and the title of your book and where they can get it at.
Yeah, for sure. So here's actually your copy. I'm going to send you out.
Oh, yeah, you're going to send it to me.
The Happy Hotline. It's a novel, very dark novel about a suicide hotline operator who kind of goes rogue, and he has this kind of nihilistic epiphany, and he tries to convince callers to kill themselves instead of actually saving them.
Are you man, that is pretty goddamn dark.
Yeah,
holy crap.
No. Yeah, and then it's about...
Go ahead.
Yeah, so then there's kind of a guy who figures out what he's doing and he tries to stop him. So it's kind of like a good versus evil, is life worth living or not, kind of story.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to jump in here. Damn it, the Panthers just scored. I've been rooting for the Tampa Bay Lightning. Florida Panthers just scored against. You root for the Bruins up there or not?
No, so I'm actually a Pittsburgh guy. So
you're a Penguins.
Penguins. Lost last week. It was a tough overtime game.
Yeah. Any personal experiences fit into this book at all?
Yes, there's definitely a lot of my own kind of struggles with
depression,
being in dark places, a little depression. Yeah, a little
any trauma in your past? Because I don't know if you know this. 2019, I attempted to harm myself. I spent 11 days in a hospital and stuff. And, you know, it opened my eyes up to a lot of stuff here. You know, everybody wants to talk about the gun violence. I know I'm going off on a big rant here, but with all the gun violence, everybody wants to talk about getting rid of the guns or more gun laws and stuff. I mean, it would be nice in the perfect world. But it's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. But I think if we paid more attention to mental health and taking it more seriously, because there's a stigma when it comes to mental health in this country. You're looked at, especially if you're a man, you're weak. You're weak. You know, because growing up, it was like if you told your parents you were depressed, or like, what do you got to be depressed about?
Yeah.
You know?
I appreciate you sharing that. And that's kind of one of my goals for the novel is I kind of take the characters to this really dark place. And I think once you can kind of like share this story, and I've experienced it myself just getting the book out. And once you kind of, I call it kind of opening the doors of suicide. Like once you broach the topic of suicide and depression and these kind of dark things that people deal with, you get surprising answers of people will tell you, oh, there's this period in my life where I really did seriously consider suicide. Oh, there's this period in my life where I was really depressed. And it surprises you who will share that with you. So that's definitely one of my goals with the novel, is to kind of just help create those conversations. Because I think once you start having those conversations, you can start talking about, you know, why is this? Why is it that it seems that our generation is really committing suicide at pretty high rates, you know, and why did previous generations maybe not do that? And what is there that we can do to kind of get ourselves to a healthier place?
You know, a lot of authors, you know, a lot of books are, you know, I mean, a lot of the great books that everybody knows about were eventually turned into movies. Hell, there's a lot of movies that people didn't even know were books, you know. What would you say, like, what actors would you have in mind for some of the characters in your book? Like, I know it might be a dumb question, but describe the two main characters. The guy that's running the suicide hotline, he would be considered the bad guy, correct?
Yeah, for sure. So, yes, there's Joseph, is the suicide... Joseph is the guy who kind of figures out what he's doing. Jay is the suicide hotline operator. And they're kind of different aspects of myself. So Jay is kind of the down and out, depressed, kind of having a hard time of it. Mm-hmm. And Joseph's kind of the more optimistic aspect of myself, I would say. And then it's kind of a exploration into this psychological battle of, you know, sometimes in life there are periods where you really feel like life isn't worth living and you're down in the dumps and you're really having a tough go of it, and sometimes things are going better. And yeah, so in terms of actors,
yeah, who would play the
that's a good question. I think my mind's been more on like if there was a director or directors who I could get to direct it. So it's set in Minneapolis, where the Coen brothers are from.
Oh yeah,
they do dark movies really well.
But they also they've done comedies that are kind of dark as well too. Mandingo asks, "What are you doing about maybe any past or current depression?"
Yeah, that's a great question. I think I've found, I wouldn't say I'm someone who struggles with depression all the time, but I've definitely had periods where I've had a tougher time. I think those periods were when I was feeling really kind of isolated, really not having meaningful connections with friends or family. And so I think the way I've kind of built my life and how I try to live is trying be with I'm a farmer, and right now I'm learning how to build.
What's your farming?
So right now I'm building. I'm not actively farming, but I've worked on organic vegetable farms. I work with some animals, some chicken, sheep, and goats. And I really have enjoyed, and it's helped me kind of with my mental health as well. Just being in a group of people, working, you know, working in the fields, working, getting like for common goals, where you're all kind of in it together to try and grow these tomatoes or take care of these chickens or build these houses, right? So
grow some weed, man. Get some weed, man. That helps you out with your mental health a little bit more, because I just feel like they're just trying to throw a bunch of pharmaceuticals down our throats all the time.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, natural stuff. I think that's definitely part of it. Eating healthy, you know, being outside, getting physically active.
The sun. Man. Sun. You got to get a part of that.
Talk about like seasonal depression and stuff.
Twisted Movie says, I think Buscemi, because you were talking about the Coen brothers, I think Buscemi would play you, Tuds. I could definitely see that. Now, can I ask you, and you don't have to get into it if you don't feel comfortable, but a lot of people that deal with depression and stuff, how old of a guy are you, by the way?
I'm 26.
26, okay. So you're not I'm a Gen Xer. What Gen are you? A
I don't millennial? You don't? Generational.
Any trauma in your past? Any childhood trauma? You know, a lot of that stuff happens.
No, I would say I lived a pretty fortunate life. Parents who loved me, you know, great family, great community I was raised in. But I think one of the things that was happening as I was writing this book is I went through a pretty painful breakup, and I think for me psychologically, my parents were divorced and both of their parents were divorced. And so
you wanted to break that cycle, and you felt like when that happened, you were like, oh man, I'm just, you know, I wasn't able to do that.
Yeah. It was tough. It's kind of this like fate thing where you feel like you're destined to,
you're 26, man. You're 26. And look, I'm not like, it sucks. Breakup sucks.
I
got divorced in my 30s but you're 26, man. Like, I got divorced in my 30s, and I'm not trying to downplay what you went through and stuff, man, but you're 26.
Yeah, no, for sure.
You got great facial hair. You wrote a book.
That's half the battle, right?
No, but you wrote a book, and I'm just saying, there's time to turn it around. But like I said, I'm not downplaying. So why'd you guys break up?
That's a good question. I think, she's in medical school, so, there's a lot kind of going through kind of her own growth and things she was working on, and then the relationship as well.
Any indiscretions, like, you know, like, was she Well, I mean, that's good. That's good. Nelly Mandingo says, any military background in your life?
That's a good question. I actually served as a paratrooper in the Israeli army.
Whoa. For 2.5 years. Hey, so I gotta ask you. So are you like from Israel or family from Israel and stuff?
No, so I'm actually just Jewish from Baltimore.
But you can serve in the army from Israel, though?
Yeah, like, so now I became a dual citizen, immigrated over there to serve in the military, and serve for 2.5 years. Yeah, it's a very meaningful experience for sure.
I mean, well, I mean, I think it's pretty badass. I think it's honorable that you did. But yeah, Nelly Mandingo said, I felt it. Do you think any of that service, do you have any PTSD from that? I mean, I'm sure. And I'm not asking about any details or anything like that. My dad raised me. He always told me, you don't talk to somebody in the military. You don't ask them about details and stuff like that, because I think it's completely disrespectful too. But do you feel like any of that maybe dealt with or led to some of your depression or anything like that?
That's a good question. I think that one thing that that was tough is kind of the transition from kind of serving to not serving. Because you have this, I was in the service for 2.5 years. So you have this 2.5 years where you're very sure of kind of your meaning, your goals, your objectives, what you're doing. And then you kind of step into the chasm of the real world as a civilian. So I think there was definitely a period where, you know, you're kind of floating in space, trying to find yourself. And that's tough for people to kind of navigate. Nothing, I would say, I got lucky. So I was in basic training during the 2014 Gaza war. So I had a lot of friends who served during the war.
Was that against Palestinians?
So that was between Hamas and Israel. Okay. In Gaza. And so I have friends and commanders who served. And I was in basic training then, so I kind of missed that fighting, and that was kind of the last big war that there was.
You see that. It's weird when you get situated to something that not a lot of people have to deal with, and then you get back into civilian life. Hell, my producer of Vulture, you probably spoken with him, that booked the interview and everything. He was a Marine. He's a Navy guy right now in the reserves and stuff. And, you know, seems like the nicest guy in the world, but he was in Afghanistan and stuff. And yeah. I don't ask him about that type of stuff, but I just know, I was like, man, this is the nicest guy in the world that I know, but I'm sure he's had to do some pretty bad things.
Yeah, I think it's a lot tougher for American servicemen, because in Israel, you serve and, there's a mandatory draft. So
as a civilian, though, right? As a civilian, you got to serve a little bit of time, right?
It's 3 years mandatory for men and 2 for women. So when you get released in Israel, you're kind of going into a community where everyone has served. Everyone has had this experience. In America, it's a lot tougher because you're kind of overseas. You come back and no one really knows what you went through, right? You don't have that community of people who understand what you're going through, what that transition's like. So I think a lot of Americans specifically have a very hard time because they come back from this place where they're with their best friends all the time. They're serving together. They have this common cause. And then you get released and come back to the States and you're just kind of in the abyss of the civilian kind of community who doesn't know what you went through and what you're going through coming out of it.
Hey, so how did you get treated as an American going over there and being a part of the military? Like, they welcomed you with open arms, or did you feel a little bit like an outsider as being an American?
No, definitely. They're, happy to have me. Definitely a lot of jokes about my accent because I have a strong American accent.
Yeah.
A lot of jokes about that. But no, it's good guys and yeah, definitely welcoming.
Being from Massachusetts, though, everybody thinks Massachusetts are like Boston. Hey, we're going down to the river. We're gonna play the guitar. How do you like them? Straight out of like Goodwill Hunting type stuff.
Yeah.
How far away from Boston are you?
So right now, kind of near Pittsfield on the western part of the state. So I would say about 3 hours or so.
Yeah. Nelly Mandingo, he writes a good question, says, how long did it take to write the book?
Oh, for sure. So I spent about 3 months writing the first draft, and then just spend a year just chipping away, editing, reading it over and over and over. And
you didn't have a ghostwriter? You didn't have a ghostwriter or an editor that looked over everything?
So my dad's actually a journalist, and he's part of, I'd say, the inspiration for me becoming a writer, just growing up around his writing.
He write in on any big papers or like?
Yeah, he's a freelancer, but he's written for the New York Times. He used to be with the Jerusalem Post for a while.
Well, that's badass.
Yeah, so he helped me look over the book and edit it, which was great.
Are you going to do book on tape? And if so, are you going to read it yourself, or are you
going
to get somebody else?
Great question. It's in the works. I have to start pushing forward with it because I definitely want to have the audio version available.
Get Mark Wahlberg, Matt Damon, or Ben Affleck. I mean, if you're going to Massachusetts, I mean,
I mean, I don't think I'm going to be the one to read it.
Why not though?
I mean, you tell me. I don't know if I have the voice for it, and I speak a little monotone, and you have to have like good inflections for different characters. And
you're talking to somebody who's got the nerdiest ass goddamn voice you could ever think of, has been doing radio for about 20 years. Maybe that's why I'm not on the radio right now, and I'm doing a podcast and stuff. But you just gotta let it rip, man. I mean, it's your content. You wrote it. Yeah, nobody else is going to know it better than you.
That's true. Yeah, maybe I'll try and do it.
So, be honest. So, are you well, I'm not asking because of me, but I'm just saying. So, you write this book and stuff. Mm-hmm. Any ladies coming out of the woodwork? I know you had that breakup and stuff. Are you like seeing anybody right now? Cuz I mean, some of these big ass authors, I mean, they got the ladies all over them.
Yeah, that's news to me. No, for now, honestly, I've been very nomadic the last couple of years. I spent last year traveling. This year, I was down in North Carolina for a bit, then back home in Baltimore. Now I'm up in Massachusetts. So and I've just been kind of focusing on the book. So I definitely got to put myself back out there one of these days.
How is Baltimore? One of my favorite shows is The Wire. You ever watched The Wire back in the day? Did you know the guy that wrote The Wire? He's got another show out that's on HBO called We Own This City. I don't know if you've watched that at all, but it's more about the corrupt police officers, and it is so good. But Wire is some of the best television that you can ever watch.
Yeah, I'm a bad Baltimorean or Baltimorean because I've only seen like two or three episodes of The Wire, so I gotta watch it all the way through.
Have you ever experienced like the crime and stuff? I mean, are there some really bad areas of Baltimore, or are they just playing it up for the TV show?
No, there are. I mean, I live like, I grew up in a safe neighborhood. But I mean, my brother went to the local Dunkin' Donuts, and he pulls in and he sees some guy going to Dunkin' Donuts with a gun. And so he just pulls right back out and calls the cops, you know. So, you know, stuff happens, but generally it's pretty safe where I am.
You know, we just had that big mass shooting up in Buffalo and everything. Mm-hmm. We're in the military and stuff. How does it feel that you've been through some of this combat stuff and then you're like living in America and you just don't know if you're like walking in a store, if something could happen? Like I said, I might conceal carry. You know, there's a lot of responsible gun owners and stuff out there, but like, do you try to stay vigilant? Do you think that, you know, your time in the military and stuff, it just makes you where like, you know, where you're at all time, you're aware of your surroundings and stuff?
Yeah, I think I definitely have a little of that kind of situational awareness you're talking about. I don't know. I guess most of the time it's not on my mind, but kind of if you hear a noise or see someone doing something suspicious, then it catches your eye and just kind of keep an eye on him. But I don't have a weapon in the States, so
I mean, it just sucks. It's crazy times we're living in and stuff. All right, so so the book, I don't want to get into it too much because I don't want to ruin it. That's why I don't do movie reviews and stuff, because I can't review a movie without talking about stuff that's in it, all right?
Yeah.
Now, the book is an easy read, do you think? How long of a book is it?
Yeah, I think it's both easy and difficult. It's kind of like the style, I would say, is like Chuck Palahniuk, the author of Fight Club. It's kind of like satirical, entertaining, but then it also kind of smack you across the face with some dark stuff.
Any twist in it? I mean, you brought up Fight Club. Is there a twist in the movie?
No, I don't know if there's any. It kind of just goes down a dark path for a while. So I don't know if there's any kind of crazy twists in it. But I think it's both an entertaining read and also maybe a difficult read at the same time. So
we everybody thinks just because the most unique character in the book has to be the protagonist or the antagonist. Who do you think is the most interesting secondary character in your book?
That's a great question. There's a character I really liked writing who's kind of this veteran. And in the book, they create this app that kind of is this algorithm that gives you what happened in all of your past lives. And so this veteran puts his information into the app, and it kind of has the lineage of all of his past lives of what happened. And it turns out that in every past life, he was also a soldier. Like, he was a Roman soldier, a Greek soldier. He was in both World Wars.
Oh, any Civil War? Any Civil War soldiers? Oh, man.
Yeah, I don't know if I mentioned that, but he probably was in the Civil War also. I don't know which side. And so this one character, in all of his past lives, kind of was a soldier and was dying in every war. And so he kind of has this trauma of thinking that it's his destiny, you know, to go out and serve and die. So... I think fate is a really interesting thing.
Any romance? Impact. Any romance in this book? Any sex scenes? Anything like that? No.
Yeah. There's some of that. I did a reading for some of my friends, and one of the early chapters is a sex scene. So that was an interesting one.
Did it get like 50 Shades of Grey type sex scene or no? No.
I don't know.
Yeah, don't ruin it. Don't ruin it.
Yeah, you'll have to check it out.
Well, hey, Joe, before I let you go, tell my audience a little bit about the book, where they can get it, how they can follow you on social media, anything. The floor is yours, my friend.
Yeah, appreciate it. So the book's called The Happy Hotline. You can find it on Amazon. One thing about the book is I'm going to be donating $1 to NAMI, National Alliance for Mental Illness, for every book sold. I know they do really great work, so I'm trying to support them through the book.
How much is the book? What is the price point on the book if people want to?
$15. $15 mm-hmm. on Amazon. And I have
paperback?
A website.
Is it paperback? Are you going to do any hard copy release?
Just paperback for now, an ebook, and hopefully the audiobook will be in the works. I have a website, joecutler.com. You can check out some more of my stuff, some photography up there, and
Well, Joe, I really enjoyed this interview. Thank you so much for taking the time to join my show and stuff, and I look forward to getting your book. Twisted Movies, he says this, I will be buying a copy.
Oh, hey, I appreciate it.
Well,
thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, Joe, man, I sent you that email back. It has all my contacts, so reach out to me anytime if you need anything, okay?
Appreciate it. Sounds good. I'll shoot you that book shortly.
All right, man. Have a good one.
You too.
All right, so I'm going to get out of here, guys. I got to tell you, this new job, getting used to the schedule and stuff. Yeah, Fish on J says, thank you for your service. I'm getting used to this new schedule, this new job. I'm having fun doing it. But when you start a new job and stuff, guys, you're always like, you want to make sure you don't mess up. You don't want to mess up really, really badly. So it's taking me a little bit longer. Taking me a little bit longer to learn everything. The more and more I do it, it's going to become second nature. I won't have to think about it. I'll be able to get the stuff done just as quick. I got to start like, kind of just figuring out when I need to do what and stuff. And that'll all come with it, but I'm a little beat, man. Wait, hold on. Iggy T says, wait. Iggy T says, wait. I got to wait for Iggy T. Out of all the females, she's definitely the booker. Oh, Liver King. Here, you want me to be honest? I think Liver King is a fraud. I kind of agree with Joe Rogan. You do not get that type of body. I mean, it could be genetics. But I saw that interview that he did on Logan Paul's podcast and stuff. The guy is a gimmick. He is. Come on, man. He doesn't seem very smart. I've never been like, oh man, Liver King's pretty creative. Liver King is pretty smart. Liver King is funny. I mean, his wheelhouse is 20 to 30 seconds. And I'm just waiting for the day. Now, a raw diet does work for some people. But come on, man. Eating that much raw food, you're going to run into some food that is bad. And for you to eat all meat, and then he was on Logan Paul's podcast talking about, oh, I don't get cholesterol tests. I don't believe in that. I don't believe in this. I don't believe in that. Yeah, Nelly Mandingo, you did definitely call that out. You did. Yeah, I mean, you got to eat some vegetables. Also, the other thing, a gimmick. It was like, oh, I got to eat my vegetables and it's pork rinds. Or I got to eat my vegetables and it's a pine cone. Bet your ass that Liver King is not walking around with his bare feet all the time. By the way, you got to wear a shirt every once in a while. You look like a fool with your Viking helmet on. You look like a fool pulling around a sled on a good driveway, by the way. That driveway seems pretty goddamn expensive, and I swear to God, I'd be pissed off if I was your wife pulling it up. How much weight, and you're carrying like 50-pound kettlebells, and you got chains around your necklace and stuff. I guarantee you, I'd be willing to bet Liver King probably puts on clothes, wears shoes. He says he sleeps on a bed that is just a piece of wood. Bullshit. Bullshit. And as much raw food as you're eating, I'm sure your intestines are so packed full of undigested fecal matter. And you ever notice, he does have abs, but he's got Duke abs. And by Duke abs, I mean Dookie. Duke abs. He's got Duke abs. Nelly Mandingo does says, liver failure king. And he's working the gimmick. He is. But do you think he is really living that Viking lifestyle 24/7? No, he's not. And how bad he talks about his kids all the time and everything. How bad, I mean, for one, how boring of a life is it if you're Liver King's children? Boring, boring, boring. Got to be outside all the time. We're only eating meat. I don't get to eat anything sweet. I don't even get to eat vegetables. What up, Manu? Haven't seen you in a little while, my friend. I hope everything's down or is great down in New Zealand. I don't know about you. I love vegetables. Isn't vegetables a part of the natural life? I mean, vegetables are out there all the time. And this guy doesn't believe, and he claims that his kids were sick all the time. The doctors were running all these tests and everything. I mean, Nelly Mandingo, you know what? He's working the gimmick. The guy is making a lot of money, and that's what just, like, makes me sick. Because you know he's a fraud. Abraham, if you were on the cover of Muscle and Fitness in 2000, I know. I worked in the industry for bodybuilding years. They lie. I saw the receipts. And it is true. Come on. You're not getting that type of a body off of a natural living lifestyle. And he just looks like he fucking smells. I'm just saying, and I'm not trying to be rude, but he's a fraud. He is. Everybody knows it. And I think there's going to be a lot of sick-ass people with high cholesterol thinking that Liver King knows everything. Liver King's going to be like John Wayne. They said John Wayne died with like 8 pounds of fecal matter in his intestines. Red meat is hard as hell to digest. And you know that I can only imagine. I bet his dumps stink. They gotta stink. And eating all that raw food and bone marrow, pain pills. Abraham Dragonfruit, you're right. Pain pills. Pain pills stop you up. Because, look, Liver King does have abs, but they're Duke abs. They're fat guy abs. Because the Duke and his intestines are pushing out his abs. All right. I'm done on my Liver King monologue. Hopefully, that is what you wanted to hear, Iggy T. Anyways, guys, I'm going to get out of here. Hopefully, you guys enjoyed tonight's show. Hopefully, you guys stay safe, and I will talk to you tomorrow.